Hey fans, welcome to the Faber Firm Show here with Joe Cortez and my co-host, John Zimmel. John, we have a lot of good fights coming up here.
Yeah, man.
In the month of March.
And, yeah.
It's actually
going
May.
Into April, May.
April, May.
This whole quarter part of the year is just exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of big fights.
A lot of big fights. And we also have Jesse Vargas who's fighting Adrian Broner.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Jesse Vargas on the line right now.
A good friend of the show. We're going to talk to him right now.
Yeah, so we're going to go in with Jesse Vargas. Jesse Vargas, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well, Joe. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, great, great, great. Jesse, we just got the great news last week, that almost 10 days ago, that you're fighting Adrian Broner in April 21st, I believe it is.
That's correct. We're looking forward to the fight. It's going to be a fan-friendly show. We hope that all the fans come out April 21st to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. It's going to be a good night of boxing. We have a triple header. Of course, the main event will be Adrian Broner and myself, Jesse Vargas, and the co-main event will be Hugo Centeno and Charlo, one of the Charlo brothers. And it's going to be a good show.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a great show on Showtime. And one of the things is that the fans were very concerned about Adrian Broner's behavior in the last year or so, and he hasn't been carrying himself too well with his private life. And the fans are thinking, like, is he going to have anything to show for this fight when he fights Jesse Vargas, who's an outstanding fighter? And I know that he's training real hard for this fight. It means a lot to him, but we well know that this means a lot to you as well, because I know you have two losses on your record, and those two losses happen to be to two ex-champions. You know, you're talking about Timothy Bradley and you're talking about Manny Pacquiao. And we know that you've been up against the best, and they're looking at you as a future rising star in boxing. And I know that some of the fighters in the past, I'm going back to, if I want to go to memory lane, talking about fighters back in the days when they would lose one to two fights in a row and they still come back and turn out to be outstanding fighters, great champions, you know, after those two defeats. So that I'm sure that with your defeats that you had at the hands of these two great champions, definitely a Manny Pacquiao Hall of Famer, and Timothy Bradley most likely as well. And what can you tell us about your future in boxing and with those two losses that you had against those two great champions?
Well, I see myself having a bright future ahead of me in the sport of boxing. I have an amazing career. I've gained a lot of experience throughout the years, and you've named only two of numerous opponents that I've been up against that I was able to share the ring with, and gave the fans an outstanding night, a night of fireworks, and a night of action-packed fights. And not only that, but fights where I gained a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge. And, you know, I dissect every mistake and every strength that I had in one fight, in each and every fight. And then I just use it to make me better in the upcoming fight. And right now I feel more mature as a fighter. I feel more experienced. I feel that I know my body exactly how it should be trained in order for it to respond in the best way possible. And this is the second part of my career. You know, I'm in my prime. I'm 20 years old, and I feel very good and confident that we're going to be able to pull out the win come April 21st, you know, with a sensational victory. I really am looking forward to it. I know that Adrian Broner is a very good fighter himself, and but I just feel that I'm a better fighter.
Now, let me ask this question. Anthony, Adrian Broner is a fighter that's had a lot of talent, and we know he's giving fighters a tough time in the past. But with your experience, the style that he has something like a kind of a Mayweather type of a style. Do you see any difficulties in handling his approach into the ring that night?
Not really. I fought against several fighters with that style or with a similar style, and I never had a problem with it. And, I mean, keep in mind that I trained with Floyd for several years, and I was able to watch and learn some of the things that he likes to do. And I just feel that I'm the better fighter between Broner and I know his style very well. I'm not going to have any type of problem.
Now you have a lot of fighters that are out there. You got Mikey Garcia, who just looked impressive the other day, and then you have Errol Spence Jr. You got Terence Crawford. You have so many other good fighters that are out in the welterweight division, Keith Thurman and whatnot. Do you find yourself I see yourself in a mix of some of the great ones in many years in the welterweight division. There's going to be a merry-go-round as far as these welterweight fighters are concerned, and you're going to be in a good mix. You definitely have to get a couple of good wins under your belt to be considered pound for pound the best in the welterweight division. How do you see that?
Exactly.
How do you see that division going for you?
I see it going very well. I can't look ahead of myself, though. First of all, I want to focus 100% on Angry Broner. And after that, I know that, a lot of opportunities are going to be open, are going to be there. And it's all about me just making the right moves, continuing to be successful in each and every fight. And that's the plan. That's the plan. We're preparing for this one properly when it comes to Adrian Broner, April 21st on Showtime. We want to stand out and show the fans that we're here to stay and that I am prove to them why I am amongst the best in the world.
Right. Now, you definitely have a lot to give to the boxing fans. Now, I have John Zimmer, my co-host here. He wants to ask you a couple of questions. John, go ahead.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
Good to talk to
you
again,
buddy. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I wanted to say, first of all, we haven't talked since your last fight in December in California against Aaron Herrera. I want to say congratulations on that victory for you.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Let me ask, your last victory before Aaron Herrera was against Saddam Ali, who just beat Miguel Cotto in his last fight. You've had an outstanding career all the way up. This is the two biggest named fighters that you've fought, I think, it's fair to say, were Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. And Adrian Broner, I think, is the third biggest name that you fought in the sport. Do you see this as kind of a make and break as far as your commercial appeal?
You know what? Every fight is, though.
Makes sense.
I mean, every fight is a make it or break it for every fighter. That's why I always say the most important fight is the upcoming fight.
Absolutely.
You have to make sure that you're ready to perform at the highest level and to come out with victory. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm ready for what's next, which is April 21st, Adrian Broner on Showtime.
That's exciting.
And we look forward to coming out, with the victory. But the fans are going to enjoy it, that's for sure. They should definitely tune in. It's going to be a good one.
Well, you got an exciting style, and Adrian Broner is always exciting. There's a reason he sells tickets. Do you think, I'm going to piggyback on what Joe was saying a little bit. Do you think that the welterweight division is the toughest division in sports? Because it's or in boxing right now? Because I think it's my favorite division. It's been so exciting with all those names he named. With Mikey Garcia and Terrence Crawford swimming in those waters next. You got Jeff Horn. You've got, still Manny Pacquiao. You have a lot of big names and big athletes in that division. Where do you think it ranks up against some of the other divisions right now?
I don't mean to be biased, but I would have to say that the welterweight division is the more competitive and the most attractive.
I agree.
Division. That's just the facts to it. We have several years to come where we're going to have very entertaining matchups because we have so many fighters that can go up against one another. And for that reason, I would have to say the welterweight division is stacked and is very entertaining to see.
I couldn't agree more. Final question. We had you on before the first Triple G Canelo fight, and we had you and you analyzed a lot of what went on. I'm curious, what do you think about the second one?
The second Triple G Canelo fight?
The rematch. Yeah, we had you on to analyze the first one, and I thought you did an amazing job. So,
thank you. You know what? The second one is tough to call, especially with all these rumors going around. Before I would say that Canelo had the advantage because he had a lot to learn from in the first fight and a lot to improve upon. And Triple G, there's only one thing that he could do different, and it would have to be, well, maybe two, but I doubt it would be this counterpunch. Counterpunching would be one of them. Yeah. It's trying to set up Canelo for a counter.
Which isn't really his game, but I...
Time. Exactly. It's not really his game. That's why I doubt that would happen. The second is for him to do a similar fight as the first, but this time aim the first half of the, you know, aim some of his punches towards the lower half of Canelo's body, which is the body.
Yeah.
That would be something different from the first. But I don't know what to expect in this one. I mean, just because there's a few other aspects that are being put into play.
Okay, Jesse, this is Joe here. Now, question, Jesse, if you had to lay your money out on this fight, who do you who will you pick, and by what type of outcome?
I would I'd win my money for sure because I would keep it in my pocket. But if I would have to bet, it would be hard to decide on whether going with Triple G by knockout or Canelo by decision. Yeah. I would just figure out what odds to pay the most, and then I'd probably go with that.
Yeah, I like the way you think, brother.
You're smart.
Jesse, listen, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. We wish you the best of luck with Adrian Broner on April 21st.
We'll Showtime. Be watching.
So
thank you.
In New York at the Barclays Center. I'm sure we'll all be there to see your great fight, and wishing you the very best always.
Thank you for having me on the show. Have a good one, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks. Well, we had a day with Jesse Vargas.
I love when he's on the show, man. He's always so entertaining, well-spoken. Yeah. He's a great guest.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he really has a lot of class.
Yes.
You know, Adrian Broner is going to have his hands full because it's going to be a fight that they're going to be a make or break for either one of these fighters.
I agree.
Because both of them have to really come up to the plate and do something different.
I couldn't agree more. This is kind of, Adrian Broner, he gets a lot of flack because of the Mayweather comparisons. And he's had a lot of losses, but he's fought tougher guys than a lot of people that we put up there as, you know what I mean? He's had some really tough battles.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. It's just people don't really, you know, they don't respond to him as well. But he's been a great fighter who's taken every challenge he's needed. Jesse Vargas is a phenomenal fighter who's also done that.
Well, what was going to happen now is that if Jesse Vargas loses, you know, they're going to say, well, every time he goes up against somebody with top competition.
That's why I asked him that. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I think, like, every time he's fought a name that we know.
He doesn't get over it. However, you know, he said he's learned a lot from those two defeats.
He looks good against Herrera.
Yeah, and he's young, so he looked real good against Herrera. So that was a good tune-up fight for him.
Exactly. I'm hoping.
And now fighting Adrian Broner.
And then that next step is what? I mean, they have him named for a possible Keith Thurman. I should ask about that eventually.
But once he gets over, if he gets over on Adrian Broner, yes, they'll be talking
to
Keith
Thurman. That's what they're saying. They say Thurman wants a tune-up fight first, like a Herrera-type fighter. Uh-huh. And then his next one will be like a mid-level. I don't want to say mid-level, but somebody who's not Spence or Porter. Does that make sense? And then that last fight will probably be Spence.
Talking about Porter. Porter's been out of the picture for about a year now. And Porter has to get back into the mix because his name is not coming up as often as it used to.
And it should.
Yeah, it should, because, I mean, he gave...
Keith Thurman's a two governing body champ.
Yeah.
He's a unified champ. So he's still in the picture even being out for a year and a half.
Exactly. Now, man, don't forget... Sean Porter lost to Kell Brook.
And Keith Thurman.
And Keith Thurman. So that's like a Jesse Vargas, you know?
Exactly.
They lose the two big names.
Two big names, yeah.
And now Sean Porter's got to come back and have a good win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if he loses his next opponent, whoever it is, it'll probably be one of those top 147-pounders.
God, they're so much fun.
And he got to feed any one of those guys that goes against Porter would be a notch up higher for Sean. He'll be back in the mix. But if he loses to anybody he fights next, they're going to put him back down. And same thing with Jesse. And same thing with Jesse. So, you know, you fight fans.
All these guys, man. You fight fans
out there watch. They say, wow, you know, you guys are talking about all these welterweight division fighters. I mean, they're all of them really pound for pound.
Seriously.
Some of the best. I mean,
and you got the two top 10 pound for pounders in Mikey Garcia and Terrence Crawford, who have never fought in welterweight, who are just moving up. Their next fight, they both are going to be welterweight.
That's right. Yeah,
which is insane.
Yeah, and these guys are really outstanding fighters. I mean, they're young. I mean, the welterweight division is at its peak.
Yes.
It's boiling right now. It's so hot.
It is.
You know?
It's so exciting, man. Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be the next, I mean, and they're all young.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we got, the next 3-4 years of just exciting fights against these guys.
Yeah.
As long as everything goes you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes according to plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talk a lot about the super flyweight division here. We talk about heavyweight because it's boxing. But welterweight division has been just, it's just blowing up, man. Yeah. Errol Spence might be my favorite fighter right now because the way he works the body. There's just so much excitement in the sport. I mean, Danny Garcia is a guy we never talk about, but he's like a top five welterweight right now.
I mean, any one of the guys you talk about, they're all great champions.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, I mean, you say, wow, you're fighting that guy?
Yeah.
Keith Thurman, you're fighting Danny Garcia. You're fighting, you know, this.
Look at Saddam Ali, just took down Cotto. He's only lost one fight, and that was to Vargas.
That was to Vargas, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that'd be another good fight for Vargas, too, after he gets through with...
A rematch with Ali?
If he gets through Adrian Broner, Saddam Ali would be a good opponent for him.
Yeah, I'd like to see him fight Danny Garcia next. I think that'd be a good... I like their styles.
But I want to see how he does with Adrian Broner.
Me too. Oh, yeah.
If he does so-so, then I'd say get another tune-up fight. Maybe Saddam Ali would be a good one because he beat him before, and now he could regain that welterweight championship again.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, wow, you know?
I like how he dodged the question, by the way, with Triple G Canelo. He wouldn't answer it. Because, you know, the last two times we had him on the show, he said that Cotto would beat Ali, and he said that Canelo would beat Triple G. So I was going to see. He's like 1-0-1.
I think he's learning from his mistakes and predictions like he did. Jesse, you know, you called him before, and you were off.
Yeah.
So but I think you were smart. You're learning.
He is.
You're learning.
He didn't even answer the question, and he still made it sound good.
Yeah.
He's good at this.
He's good, but yeah.
He's a pro.
Because he's learning from experience.
Exactly. Just like he's doing in the ring.
Exactly.
That's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, we have so many great fighters out there, and we're talking about, again, we're talking March 31st.
Yeah, baby.
We're talking
That's the next big one.
Yeah. We're talking about Anthony Joshua against Joseph Parker. I don't know if it's a big one because Parker...
Oh, it's a big one it's the next one that we're talking about.
You know, Parker has some...
Just came out that he had surgery on both his elbows.
I mean, and you know what? And that's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
Because you can have surgery on one elbow, but you have surgery on two elbows.
Well, if you're Keith Thurman, you have surgery on an elbow, you're out for 20 years. I mean, like, you know, you never know.
You know, so, you know, then if he loses, he says, well, I had surgery on my elbows. You know, it was just like when Pacquiao fought Mayweather.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he lost. Then he said my shoulder was...
Or Rigondeaux with his hand bruise.
Oh, no, the Rigondeaux with the hand bruise stuff, I don't buy that.
That was so terrible.
But in boxing... there's so many things that we could talk forever about.
Yeah,
all these fighters, but I remember the golden era, man, talking about Marvin Hagler, Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, you know, these guys.
The middleweight
division.
Well, that's one thing I look at that because that was the heyday. I mean, that was to me the greatest division in boxing of any time. Like even over the 70s or 90s with the heavyweights, I like the 80s with the middleweights.
Yeah.
And I'm saying right now, the welterweight division, the way it's shaping up, could end up being something like that.
Exactly.
Man.
That's the way it seems right now.
We don't know yet. But I'm saying it has the potential.
You have all these great fighters.
Yeah, look at the super flyweight division, too. You got between Chocolatito, between Rungvisai, Estrada, Cuadras. If Inouye stays down there, I mean, you got five guys that could beat any of each other.
Exactly.
McWilliams,
Arroyo.
Absolutely. Can't discount him. Just beat Cuadras.
He beat Cuadras from Puerto Rico.
Man.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I mean, there's so much happening in boxing, guys. I mean, I'm excited with all these events that are taking place.
Yeah.
I was just in Madison Square Garden this past Saturday in New York, and they had some exciting fights up there. Talking about exciting fights, you had this kid Ramirez who looked really good.
Oh, yeah, you were showing me the picture.
Yeah,
right?
But the one sad thing that happened that night was Felix Verdejo from Puerto Rico. You know, he had a motorcycle accident about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and he came back and didn't look that good. And then Saturday night, he started to look pretty good at the beginning of the first half of the fight. And then the second half, he just didn't have it and ended up getting stopped in the 10th round. But
I know a lot of Puerto Rican fight fans had a lot of hopes for him, as well as you and your buddy Carlos. Did you do I've heard you guys talk about him a lot.
We talked about him a lot, like I do with other fighters.
No, not in a bad way. I just mean, I know he had a lot. There was a lot of hope from the Puerto Rican boxing community.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that he would be like another Felix Trinidad.
Or Cotto.
Because he was definitely on the right track, but unfortunately.
Then, yeah, motorcycles.
He got stopped, and now the top ranker, Bob Arum, is talking about that he's advising Felix Verdejo that he should change camps Really? You know, he should get rid of his trainers and get somebody else.
Speaking of getting rid of your trainers, what about Jorge Linares, ahead of the biggest fight of his life, biggest payday on the planet, against the number one pound-for-pound fighter Lomachenko. In the world right now, Lomachenko, and there's a, like, he's leaving his team? He's leaving his training team for the first time because his training team's got to train David Hay in London, and he doesn't want to go to London, and that's weird. You ever heard of something like that? Leaving their team before their biggest fight?
Yeah, these things happen. You know, it's just crazy. And then that's where you have all these mix-ups, and the fighters are kind of like, well, you know, I didn't have the right trainer. I wasn't trained properly. But, you know, you get yourself into this mess. And these are things, when you sign up for a big fight like that, you got to get all your ducks in place. Make sure everything is right. If not, I got to come out of retirement.
You might have to.
And go out there and start training fighters myself, man. You know, because...
let's say you've made it your whole career, right? You've had the same team your whole professional career for the most part. Yeah. Every success you've ever had has led up to this moment. You got the fight of your dreams, and now you're not going to be with that team. Super weird. It's one thing, like Pacquiao leaving Roach right now is strange because they've been together forever, but at least like their days are behind them, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this will be, what, 1-2 fights without Roach?
Yeah.
This is it. This is the peak of his, this is the best, biggest he'll ever be, Linares.
Linares, this is one of the best fight, maybe pound for pound, the best in boxing today.
With Lomachenko,
yeah.
And you're gonna, leave the team that you've had just because of
a little misunderstanding about you gotta train. I don't want to train in London,
Japan, and Las Vegas. He said.
Yeah, well, you know what? He comes out to Vegas, and
maybe, that makes me you think about
maybe we'll have you train him.
What's that? Well, you think me? I'll be a good the sparring dummy.
they'll use you as a punching bag.
That's about what I can do.
No, no, you're good. You do pretty.
I know. I don't. Just cover this up. It would be
good. Oh, man.
Oh, man. But you know what? It's strange, though.
Hey, but you fans out there, you know, you have any questions or anything, you know, as it put in mind, we have our guy.
As always.
We got Charlie Rocks behind
you. We got a big, best producer in the world.
If you have any questions, any questions, cualquier pregunta, Spanish, English, I don't care. Japanese, Chinese, German. Come on.
Just send your questions.
Yeah, send your questions and we're there for you.
We'll figure it out. Charlie speaks every language. He's always the best.
But let me tell you guys, you fans out there, boxing is definitely on the way up again.
Oh, my God.
Because everybody's saying that boxing was dead. You know, you hear more talk about boxing now than you do the MMA stuff.
You do.
You know, so...
Well, unless the boxer's involved.
Well, yeah. You hear the rumors out there that Mayweather is going to apply.
Biggest MMA news and
he's going to apply for a license he's in the cage in the octagon ring, going in there every day. Is that just a publicity act, or is he a genius like his manager says?
Leonard Ellerby.
You know, he says they asked him a question. Yeah. What's going to happen to Floyd Mayweather? He said, all I can say is that Mayweather is a genius.
I think he is when it comes to marketing and ring generalship.
Well, you know what? He's the only athlete to ever make over $1 billion in the comeback sport.
And the funniest part is his style is one of the least marketable on the planet.
Yeah.
And he's managed to turn a boring style into the most money anyone's ever made in that sport. And that's just amazing.
Can you figure
that out? Boring to casual fans, obviously.
Can you actually figure that out?
He's
a genius.
He's
a
genius, man. I don't know how else you say it.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Carefully managed career.
Yeah. I was in New York this past week, and I was talking with Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney on the Sirius XM radio.
Yeah.
They had me out there for a nice interview. We had so much fun. We had Pinklin Thomas, the former heavyweight champion, online. He came, he was calling, and we asked him some questions about his career as a heavyweight. And it was just a lot of fun talking with Jerry Cooney, whom I referee against George Foreman. I remember when he fought George Foreman. The fight only lasted 2 rounds, but he at the end of the first round, hit Foreman with a left hook and buckled Foreman's knees. His knees buckled. And then the second round, Foreman came out a little bit more cautious and tagged him.
How old was Foreman then?
He was about, let me see, I refereed him when he won the heavyweight title against Michael Moore. He was 45. When he fought Cooney, I would say he probably about 41, 42.
That's crazy, man.
And he looked impressive. But Cooney looks really good. He's sharp as can be. He's doing real good on the Sirius XM radio. And we had a good one. They had me on for an hour and a half.
I promise, if I took shots from George Foreman, I wouldn't be able to talk very well. So it's, I can barely talk well as it is. And I never got punched in the face by George Foreman.
I agree.
So good for him.
But anyway, we have it. We're going down memory lane there. The past.
Hey, we got a big fight. We got some news this week coming out of the or not news, but a lot of big drama show coming out of Canelo and Triple G's camps.
A
lot of talking back and forth, man.
A lot of talking, you know. I always say a fighter talks a lot. You know, I let my fist do the talking. Mm-hmm. And before Triple G saying, I let my fist.
Triple G's let his fist do the talking his whole career. He's never come out. He's never talked. He's never been loud.
This is the first time.
And he's not missing. He's throwing everything with his words. It's kind of crazy. Well, so's Canelo. If you look at his Instagram story, we can't repeat it, but it's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's it. You want to play hardball? Let's play hardball.
These guys are really... This is the worst blood I've seen between two fighters in a while. I can't remember the last two guys that really didn't like each other. Recently, this much. I try and think about it. I think Wilder Joshua might get there if he keeps ducking him. But I don't want to say ducking him, but if he keeps making everybody wait for it, I think that might get to that point. But yeah. You don't see a lot of bad blood anymore, and this is genuine bad blood.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. It's going to be a hell of a fight.
The first fight was so good. That was our fight of the year last year.
Yeah, it's going to be Cinco de Mayo here in T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to say a shout-out for my friends out there in Queens. I was out with Goodfellas. They had the Oldies but Goodies.
Oh, there we go.
They had Willie Winfield, one of the old-timers, singing away. The doo-wop. They had a doo-wop show. I loved it this past Sunday. And with Goodfellas, we have Jackie Nunez and... my good friend Alex Augustine, who was they put a great show. They bring all these old timers out there together. Then you got some young groups singing the doo-wop, which is up my alley. I love doo-wop. Hey, doom-bop, doom-bop, doom-bop. I love it, guys.
I know you do.
So I want to say, guys, it was a pleasure talking to you guys again
this week. Jesse Vargas.
Yeah, Jesse Vargas. We still got a couple of minutes before we wrap it up.
I just want to make sure we say it again before the end of it. Special thanks to Jesse Vargas for coming on the show.
Yeah, Jesse.
He's a good friend of the show, and he's been on a few times.
He's
a great fighter, and I'm excited to see what noise he makes in that shark tank known as the welterweight division.
Yeah. Going back a little bit, the heavyweight division before we wrap it up, that you have the Anthony Joshua mm-hmm. fighting Joseph Parker. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Tyson Fury still out there.
He's lost a lot of weight. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He's lost like 30 pounds.
That's good. He got to lose another 30.
He's got to lose another 30. Yeah. He's too big. But he's like 6'9", though. And I think he's got the best mechanics out of any of the heavyweights.
Well, you know, he's going to have to do something out
there.
The
question is, can you take 3 years off, come back, and just be...
It could be a little tough.
It's going to be tougher.
I mean, Muhammad Ali, when he refused to go serve in the military... He was out for a number of years.
Yeah.
And so was Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
When he was incarcerated for 3.5 years. And they came back.
But they were shells.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Tyson. Look, Tyson wasn't... He still could fight when he came back, but he wasn't the Tyson we saw before.
Yeah, exactly.
He just wasn't.
And Muhammad Ali was out for like 3 years himself.
Yeah,
and
man.
He came back against Ken Norton.
Yeah.
And he had some difficult fights.
Exactly.
But
so you can do it, but it's just... I mean, what we've seen, they don't look the same. I mean, but Tyson Fury's, what, 25-0? He's never lost a fight. He was the lineal champ. He beat Klitschko before Anthony Joshua did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was he's a good fighter, man. So I hope he can come back and make that division even more exciting. Because otherwise, what do we have now? I mean,
you have Wilder.
We just have Wilder and Joshua, right?
Luis Ortiz is already...
Luis Ortiz is good, but he's not,
he's not out of the picture. He lost... But he can have I can see a rematch.
Do you see it? Because I don't see Wilder or Joshua giving him another chance.
Yeah.
Like I just don't see it. He's too dangerous, and there's no money in it.
Well, they're not gonna take a chance right now.
Yeah.
But if Joshua or Wilder win, they probably give Luis Ortiz a shot.
He's like 100 years old by then.
Anyway, Luis Ortiz is already up in age, but you know what? He showed a lot the other day.
God, he looks so good, didn't he?
Yeah, he looks sharp, and it's a southpaw. And he
hit that straight right to Wilder's head. I thought it was over. People were going nuts in my house.
In that seventh round, I mean, it was like, wow. there it goes. I was saying to myself, oh, man, there goes the Joshua fight.
There goes the money.
There goes the money fight. Is out. But he came
what
back.
What would we have even had then? Just waiting for Fury to come back? I mean, that would have been a bummer, man.
Yeah. But, it's here in the United States. You have no American fighters, and he's the only one really.
He's the only heavyweight.
Only heavyweight that's out there.
First heavyweight we've seen. I mean, who was the last American heavyweight who made noise?
Tyson was the only one.
Honest to God, I can't think of anybody since then.
And that's been a good 9-10 years already.
Yeah, at least. But yeah. Oh my God, at least.
Yeah. Anyway, fans, listen. It was good talking to you guys this week. It was a great month so far of boxing. We're looking forward to April and May. But we'll see you next week, guys. Take care. God bless. John Zimmel, my man here. I'm fair, but I'm firm. Keep the guards up at all times. We love you guys. Take care.